Hello, and thank you for tuning in to CITR 101.9 FM, located at the UBC Vancouver on the unceded traditional territory of the Musqueam people. My name is Meryl Stevens, and I am the New Media Student Executive for a station here, and I am here to discuss the Oscars with a very special guest of mine, my mom. Can you introduce yourself?
Hello, thank you, Meryl, for inviting me today. I am Nicole Stevens. I am Meryl's mom, and proud to be so.
Sorry, you were cut off at the beginning there. Oh. Your name is Nicole Stevens.
That is correct.
So before we get started, I want to point your attention towards an event we've had going on at the station this week, Fun Drive. If you've been tuning in, you should know what Fun Drive is, but to recap, it is our annual week-long fundraiser. This year, we kicked off on February 6th with a gathering of community members at Hatch Art Gallery here in the Nest, and we had some performances by some local artists, and it was a really nice time. Fast forward to today, we have raised over $10,000 and counting. So I'd like to encourage you to consider donating as a fan of the station or even just as a fan of diverse broadcasting and independent radio in general. CITR provides tons of opportunities for students like myself and community members like my mom to learn about the radio production, access professional equipment, collaborate with other artists, and share their unique voice. So as a registered nonprofit, we at CITR and Discorder Magazine rely on donations to maintain a well-equipped facility that can support opportunities like the ones I just described. So please help us if you can and go to citr.ca/donate or call. We have some lovely volunteer operators standing by to take your donation or to give you more information. You can call at 604-822-8648. So, moving right along, we will begin our discussion with the Oscars. So my mom and I made it our goal to watch every movie nominated for the Oscars for the Best Picture category this year, and we did that. We haven't seen every single
one. With exception of one.
Oh, yes, that's right. We did not see 1917, and that's mostly because it's not available for rent yet, sadly, or purchase on iTunes, and we didn't catch it in theaters. But aside from 1917, we saw them all, so I think we will just start by talking a bit about each of the movies, like what we thought about each individual one. I guess starting with Ford versus Ferrari, what did you think, Mom?
I really liked that movie a lot. It was a story that I was not aware of, and I really liked the relationship between Ken Miles or Christian Bale's character and... I'm spacing on his name.
Matt Damon,
right? Matt Damon, yes, thank you. Love their relationship because it was, you know, it seemed like they didn't really want to be friends, but they were truly friends. And so it was a good relationship, friendship story, as well as learning the story about Ken Miles and something I didn't know about.
Yeah, for sure. I fell asleep during it, but that's not a comment at all on how I actually felt about the movie. I did really like it. I think I was just really tired. But I feel the same way about the relationship between the two of them. I felt really connected to them, like as a friendship unit, which I didn't even realize I felt towards the end. And we're gonna go through this whole you know fill in special with no spoilers as best we can, but. Yeah, especially at the end, I was all of a sudden like, oh my gosh, I really like these guys, and this was a really sweet story. So how about The Irishman for you?
Well, you know what? I finished that the day of the Oscars on Sunday. I watched it over 2 days because it was so long.
God. My dad made the joke. He was like, does Scorsese get paid by the hour or what? It was long.
I enjoyed the movie, and it was one that I ended up unexpectedly thinking about more than I thought I would after I, you know, finished watching it. The thing that stuck out to me, I haven't watched a lot of mobster movies, but what was interesting to me was how they seemed to talk in code. I mean, they just... Mm. It would just say little snippets, you know.
The painting houses and...
Well, even there was a phrase that they were saying, it is what it is. It is what it is.
Yeah.
And they just knew what that meant.
Right.
And it was just, that was things like that. It was really interesting to me.
Yeah. I noticed you and Dad, because I watched it with my dad and my mom watched it. I guess I watched your first date with you, but anyways. my dad really felt the length he found, but I didn't feel it. And we'll talk about that more a little bit later. But I didn't really feel the length. I thought the pacing was really great, and I was engaged the whole way through.
I agree.
And, yeah, and it, like, left you with enough mystery. Like, Mom, you came into my room, like, after you had finished it, and you were like, why? This isn't a spoiler, don't worry, but it's like, so he's, you're like, why did, oh, God, what's his name?
It is, make sure you don't spoil it.
Yeah, but anyway, you have to remind me of the...
The sunglasses.
Yeah, 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 but what's,
Joe Pesci?
Yeah, what's his character's name?
Russell.
Russell, yeah. Russell, like, had, oh my gosh, I don't even remember the character's name. Anyway, so Joe Pesci's character had Robert De Niro's character leave behind his sunglasses when he went to do, like, a thing. And anyways, it was mysterious and kind of left you wondering what that was about.
Yeah, I think you,
Anyway. Yeah. Moving on to Jojo Rabbit. We both really liked this movie. We didn't see it in theaters. We saw this at a hotel. And we didn't have, like, the high... It's not that we had low expectations. We were just kind of like, oh, yeah, like, we both wanted to see this, or at least I did. And we were like, yeah, let's watch it. But we both ended up loving it. It was... I really enjoyed it. How about you?
Same. Well, when you brought it up on the TV to watch it, and you got excited because you said you had wanted to watch this, and also so did Dad, actually, I think. I had never even heard of it. And so I was a little... reluctant probably isn't the right word, but anyway, I watched it and I was so pleasantly surprised. And for this one, the thing that comes across my mind when I think back to this movie is, and I've talked to you about this, warmth. There was just a general sense of warmth throughout the movie, even though there was, you know, it was hard subjects and, you know, not always happy times and happy subjects. It's just the coloring. I think that what they did with the stage and the coloring of the film, the stage presence was all warm. It felt like it was all warm colors and even the costumes. The relationships were warm. And even the humor by the director and the actor who played Hitler.
Taika Waititi, yeah.
Yeah, made it just, it was just warm and oddly, it was a feel-good movie for me.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned, too, like, you talked about how it was, at times, like, a hard story. Like, it's in part a tragedy, but it's also, like you said, in part a comedy. And I think that's, for one thing, that's a really popular, like, form that I'm noticing in a lot of recent movies. This one, and we'll get to Parasite in a bit, but both those two are really good examples of really strong tonal shifts and, like, kind of ambiguous genres, which I think is a really interesting thing that both Taika Waititi and Bong Joon-ho have mastered, it looks like. And yeah, I really enjoyed that in Jojo Rabbit as well. It was definitely really funny and really, really heartwarming as well. Similar to Ford versus Ferrari, really liked the characters. And the boy, Roman Griffin Davis, who played Jojo, I thought was so great too. Mm-hmm. All the actors in that, honestly, were good. Okay, Joker. Joker was obviously a very big point of conversation in all sorts of communities, especially on the internet and across, you know, film reviews and all that. We'll start with what you think. What did you feel about Joker?
I don't know. I mean, obviously, I think the first thing that comes to my mind is really the performance by Joaquin Phoenix. I mean, that's...
Yeah, true.
He did an amazing job, and I... you know, just the way that they developed his disturbed mind, I guess, and you know, finding out that of his mother as well, and you know, just the way they developed the storyline, I thought was great. And again, really, just for me, it just boils down to the performance by him. Yeah,
for sure. I have kind of an unpopular opinion on this. I mean, not to say that everyone loved it. I personally, it wasn't my favorite, and I think that's mostly because I saw it before seeing a bunch of other movies that came out that were also really good right after Joker came out. And I mean, 2019 was a hugely successful year for movies, I feel like. And I'm sure that's not only my opinion. I, you know, gather that from film reviews I've watched and just, you know, talking to other people that care about movies. Hugely great year for movies, I think. And not to say that Joker isn't included in that. I think it is. And there was a lot of things that I did like about it. For instance, the dark take on a live action was really interesting to me, because a lot of the live actions that we're seeing, and we are seeing a lot of live actions, a lot of them are really just straight adaptations. Whereas this, I liked that, I believe it's Warner Brothers that produced this. I might be wrong on that. Don't come at me. But anyways, whatever production company, I think definitely took a risk, which is something that Todd Phillips talks about. And I'm glad they did. I think it's really interesting that they, you know, put a little political kind of intimate mental health twist on it. They did that part super well, which I agree that that is kind of, you know, peaked in Joaquin Phoenix's performance. But I don't know, for me, it's not the number one movie that I saw, but it wasn't the worst. I mean, yeah, it was fine. Okay, moving right along. Little Women.
Go ahead.
I cannot say enough good things about Little Women. First of all, I'm just going to be biased throughout this whole, like, discussion of the Oscars anyways, just because I love the Greta Gerwig, Saoirse Ronan, Timothée Chalamet trio. Loved it. Lady Bird, loved it. And Little Women, I loved it. I saw it 3 times.
Did you like it?
Oh, haha. I saw it 3 times, which, I mean, is not uncommon for movies that I like. But, yeah, I left feeling warm and empowered and nostalgic for a time I obviously did not live in, which is, I think, impressive. And, again, like, taking a... it's an adaptation, but I think Greta Gerwig did a really interesting job, kind of like what she did with rearranging the timeline, so it's non-linear, and I think that was really effective. I haven't read Little Women, the novel, but I can tell, too, just from imagining how it would feel as a linear timeline, how effective that choice was. Anyways, it wasn't perfect, but it was to me. I loved it.
As did I, and I also have not ever read the book, sadly. And I was not expecting to really like the movie. I went only because I was going with you and your grandmother, which it was just, that was what I was looking forward to doing that evening. Mm-hmm. And that's what we chose to do, is to go see that movie. And I ended up really, really enjoying it. Love Saoirse Ronan's performance. Super strong.
We're going to quickly blow through the last few. Marriage Story, very similar, I mean, in my brain, to Little Women, large in part due to the fact that Greta Gerwig and Noah Baumbach, are married. Seriously, no offense, Mom, but if Noah Baumbach and Greta Gerwig wanted to adopt me, I would... I would have to think about it really hard before I said no. I love them.
They would have to be ready for a fight.
I loved Marriage Story. I thought the writing was just so genuine and real. And I just thought it did a really good job of showing both sides, or like both characters' perspectives. I just thought it was really sweet and really real is what I felt about it.
Well, and I'm going to butcher how to talk about this, but I loved how they developed it. It was such a sneaky growth of contention, throughout the movie, because they started off with this is going to be mutual, and we're not going to involve lawyers, and it's just going to be a friendly separation and divorce, and how it grew based on outside influences by their friends and also eventually lawyers that just put ideas into their heads that made the contention grow. They did it well.
Yeah. So we're going to take a quick break, then we will finish up talking about 1917, even though we didn't see it, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Parasite.
At CITR, we work really hard to empower our community by getting that community on air. That means you, listening right now, can have a show on CITR. We'll even give you all the trainings it takes to get you there for free. But is this something most radio stations offer? We called a few to find out.
Good afternoon, 1027 The Peak.
Good afternoon, C-Fox.
Jack FM.
Hi. So here's the deal. I really want to get a show on your station. I'll be honest, I don't have any radio experience, but I assume that won't be a problem.
Unfortunately, I mean, it doesn't necessarily work like that.
Okay, Virgin doesn't do that.
No?
No.
Unfortunately, we don't exactly have any positions open at the moment.
No.
No?
No.
Okay. But you offer some sort of, like, training program, right? So I could eventually get a show?
Not at this station. I mean, usually start off in some sort of accredited college program.
I've never seen it done, but, I mean...
I haven't really heard of that, no, but I am the newest one in the building, pretty much. I've only been here about 9 months.
Okay, I see. Well, thanks for answering my questions. Okay.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Bye, bye, bye.
Bye.
Keep unaccredited weirdos on the air. Donate to CITR. Visit citr.ca/donate or call 604-822-8648.
Feeling lost in the lonely, meaningless cyberweb? Looking to connect with other users? Then plug in to a CITR collective. Meet users who are compatible with your interests and passions. CITR's mainframe offers 9 unique collectives: news, arts, accessibility, sports, persons of color, indigenous, gender empowerment, LGBTQ2SIA+, and music affairs. CITR collectives are where you can make great radio, great friends, and avoid the abject loneliness of life in the cyber void. Loneliness,
loneliness. Okay, we are back again. My name is Meryl Stevens, and I'm here with my mom, Nicole. We are going to finish talking about the Best Picture nominated films for the Oscars in 2020. We left off on Marriage Story, and now we will skip 1917 because we didn't see it, so we're not going to make any judgments on it. moving to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I have some things to some annoying film student things to say about this movie, but also a sad confession. So I went and saw this movie without at all, truthfully, knowing the history of... What is it? The Manson, Charles Manson?
Charles Manson.
Cult and murders, and I didn't know anything about Sharon Tate. I'd heard of Charles Manson, but not anything about Sharon Tate. And so I didn't have that historical context to, build my expectations upon, which is obviously what the film wanted you to do, which is really unfortunate, too, because you can't really watch it a second time with that same experience. You know what I'm saying? So... Regardless, though, I liked it a lot. I really appreciated what Quentin Tarantino was doing. Here's where the annoying film student comes in. So, obviously, this film is set in the 60s, 70s, late 60s, I think, something like that.
I don't know. Yes, I think late 60s.
Right. And so, I learned a lot about this period of film in one of my classes last year and came to understand so... with classic cinema, which preceded the, new Hollywood era, classic cinema was all about, showing the romance of life, and you had all these, amazing stories of, love and life and pursuit and all that stuff. But the new Hollywood era, which was the 60s and 70s, filmmaking was gone about a lot differently. It was gone about to show people... and reflect in film people's real lives. So you had something called dead time on camera, which is basically people you would see on screen people doing nothing, and that was really different and weird and new. to see somebody just laying in their bed smoking a cigarette or sitting at a restaurant table not doing anything. And the whole idea was to have a more truthful and, like, genuine, you know, representation of what people during that time were going through and experiencing. And I think what was really cool about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was not only did Quentin Tarantino really amazingly, like, display with the production design, which we'll talk about later, really amazingly display the 70s, like, late 60s, 70s with the setting, but he did that in his filmmaking, too. Like, you had sequences where Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt's characters were just sitting watching TV. Same kind of thing as what was happening with film in the new Hollywood era. So I really, really liked seeing that on screen and watching, like, not only a time period being shown visually, but in its form. So that's something I really, really enjoyed about it. And I did really like the, which I know you really liked too, Mom, the connection and the relationship between Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt. But yeah, I wish I had known the historical context so I could have really felt the anticipation that I can now see upon reflection in the tension build. But I still really liked it.
Yeah, you and I saw this movie together in the theater, mm-hmm. along with Dad as well, I believe, right? No, actually, no. It was just you and me. I know that it was a long movie.
Oh, yeah, true.
And we felt, at the end of it, at first, we felt it was kind of, Tarantino, I think this is his style, but it was kind of all over the place when we walked out of there. And however, it did spark some really great conversations later on. And one of the other things that you taught us, and it was your dad and yourself and I talking about this movie at dinner, and you, and again through your student learning and learning about this era, didn't you say something about the fact that so this was the late 60s, I think we thought, and before that the acting and films were a lot about the actor, I'm gonna throw out Doris Day or
yeah,
Rock Hudson, and so it was about something. Who was on the screen, and
yeah.
Then it was during the time of this movie,
New
Hollywood, it shifted to where it's not about the actor, it's not about the person on screen, but it's about the character. And I remember that mm-hmm. one point in the movie where Leonardo DiCaprio's character was having a hard time with that, and he was like, well, you know, they were putting a costume on him and a lot of makeup, and he said, how are they going to know it's me
mm-hmm.
on the screen? And the director said, we don't want them to know that it's you on the screen. So, and I remember he had a hard time with that. So I thought your comment about that was really interesting and how that movie captured that a little bit.
Yeah. So it was a good movie. We liked it. So lastly, Parasite, before we moved on to a few of our more important predictions and wants and results, all that. Parasite was a big one, and we can go into this more when we talk about results, because as we all know, it swept the Oscars this year. But Parasite was a really interesting one for me. I saw it in theaters with, as many people have talked about this being their same experience, like no expectations whatsoever. I had literally like no idea what this movie was really about, just heard it was great and said, okay, let's go. Basically what I did, and I'm so happy I didn't have any idea what I was getting into, because it made the tonal shifts in that movie and the climax in that movie and the basically just the progression of events so impactful. Like, again, it's hard to talk about this movie without spoilers, and it's a complicated plot in and of itself, so I'll do my best here, but it was so, you just felt so many things watching that, and it was just so inventive and, like I said, layered. Another one where I left the theater feeling like I felt nauseous. It was the only one, like the only movie I think I've ever seen where I left feeling like sick because of what I just saw. But I really loved it, and yeah, I loved it.
And I thought it was a great movie too. although I went into it based on your comments after you saw it. I saw it after you. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I thought I was going to be watching a horror movie.
That comes with the title Parasite. So I assume that when it was first recommended to me, when I recommend it to other people, they're like, oh, it's a horror Parasite. And I'm like, no. Well,
so I had a little, I think, I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was really extremely creative. And didn't they think they won like best ensemble cast or something?
Mm-hmm. BAFTAs? Golden Globes? I don't know. They did.
I don't remember, but I thought that was well deserved. They were a great cast together, I thought.
I did too.
I agree with that.
Okay, so let's move right along into some of our predictions and how it panned out for us. Basically, to fill everyone in on how we went about this, we had, like, each had one Oscar ballot, obviously. We did a check mark next to who we predicted would win it, a different color check mark next to who we wanted to win, and then we highlighted the real winners. So we'll start with actor here. I predicted that it would be Joaquin Phoenix, but I wanted Adam Driver, and I will quickly give my reasoning for that. Joaquin Phoenix was a shoo-in for winner. I think it was largely expected. He won the Golden Globe and the SAG Award. I'm pretty sure the BAFTA as well. And he did do an amazing job. It really made the film, like you said, Mom. But Adam Driver, I wanted so badly just because I thought his performance was so, like, raw and believable. Like, there were multiple points watching Marriage Story where I was like, he's doing an amazing job acting. Like, this goes kind of hand in hand with the screenplay being so well written, I think, but the way that he went about some scenes and just, like, the way that he said things a lot of times, there's especially this one scene where he's talking with his lawyer, having a private meeting with his lawyer in the midst of a larger deliberation with Scarlett Johansson's character with her lawyer. Anyway, so there's a wonderful scene with that kind of context where he's just getting so frustrated with his lawyer and so frustrated with the situation. The writing is just incredible and the way he delivers it is just incredible. So I was very sad that he didn't get it, but I am not surprised nor disappointed that it went to Joaquin Phoenix.
I also predicted Joaquin Phoenix. However, I really wanted Leonardo DiCaprio from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I just think back to especially the scene where he was in the Western film. I think it was towards the end or so. I don't remember where it was in the movie, but anyway, he went from being an insecure actor, mm-hmm. you know, character, to then he's in a scene where he's acting. He's an actor and acting right in a scene, and he was just amazing. And so I just felt like that kind of transition was just there was a depth there for me that I really wanted him to get it.
For sure. What a meta kind of role to play where you're acting. Mm-hmm. Of course, that it was definitely impressive. Okay, moving on to actress in a leading role. I think both of us predicted Renee Zellweger. Is that right?
That is correct.
Yeah, for Judy. We saw Judy. We really liked it. The movie, I don't know.
I wasn't super impressed with the movie itself, but extremely impressed with Renee Zellweger's
for sure.
Performance.
Definitely was not disappointed. She won. Saw it coming. She won the SAG and the Golden Globe as well. Mm-hmm. So that was definitely an easy prediction.
Who did you want?
I wanted Saoirse Ronan, of course. I love her. And I love Little Women.
And that's who I was torn between who I wanted. Mm-hmm. Saoirse Ronan was that's who I marked as the one I wanted to win because I thought her performance was so strong and mm-hmm. her character itself was so strong. And I'm sure that a lot of that had to do with the writing and the directing too, but
for sure.
But I also really like Scarlett Johansson in Marriage Story.
Too.
I just that her that monologue when she was talking to
Laura Dern's character.
Was it Laura Dern's, or was it when she was in, was it a therapy session?
No, it was Laura Dern's character, but I mean.
Okay. anyway, I thought that I just when in the middle of watching that monologue, I verbally said out loud, this is an amazing monologue right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it totally was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. All right, actor in a supporting role, who did you want? This time we'll start with.
You know, I wanted Joe Pesci from The Irishman. I just really enjoyed his performance. I thought he did a great
job.
Likeable.
And he's
which
is funny for a mob leader.
Yeah,
my terminology, I have no idea.
So yeah, I wanted him.
Yeah. I wanted Brad Pitt, but that was mostly because I wanted to hear his speech so bad, just because they'd been so funny with the other award ceremonies.
So what did you think about his speech then?
Well, it was it wasn't a funny, like, it wasn't a comedic one. I think, like, the other ones were geared towards comedy, but it was really sweet. I really liked what he said. It was heartfelt, and at the end I'm going to forget exactly what he said. But, oh, no, he was like, you know, once upon a time in Hollywood, you know, whatever. I butchered it.
Good
it
job,
was really
honey.
Nice, yeah. And I also thought he deserved it. I didn't really have super strong feelings about any of these nominees, but I love Brad Pitt, and I was happy to see him win an Oscar. So, good for him.
Mm-hmm.
okay, actress in a supporting role. Who did you predict?
For some reason, I predicted Kathy Bates.
To say that she didn't do a good job.
No, well, I didn't see the movie.
Exactly, yeah, so, yeah, yeah.
I don't know why. Maybe I got that mixed up with who I wanted to, and I really like Kathy Bates, and I do want to see the movie.
I really want to see it.
I had envisioned that she would have done a really good job. I think
she
does a really good job in whatever she does. So
yeah.
For some reason, I predicted she would win, but of course I was wrong.
I predicted – okay, wait. So who did you say that you wanted?
I said that I wanted Scarlett Johansson from
– What a weird choice.
From Jojo Rabbit.
Well, you go, I predicted that Kathy Bates would win because I wanted her to win so bad. Who did you want to win?
Well, that's
Scarlett Johansson.
Well, that's why I said I think I got it mixed up with who I wanted to
win.
Right.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, follow your heart for sure. Okay.
Or my two hearts.
Apparently. Okay, so I predicted and wanted Laura Dern. I think she did an awesome job in Marriage Story. Similar to how you felt about Scarlett Johansson's monologue, I loved Laura Dern's monologue. It was addicting. Like, I loved watching it. I think she did a great job. I thought she was really believable.
Everyone
in that movie was just believable. That's my biggest takeaway from Marriage Story, was believable. Okay, we'll use this opportunity to take another break, and then we'll move on to some of the other categories. We will be right back.
Fun Drive Finale is on Valentine's Day, which has always been CITR and Discorder's favorite holiday. Cupid,
this is the Valentine's Day episode. Whatever.
You know, just a commercial holiday to sell you more shit.
Happy Valentine's Day? I don't know. I don't really, it's not really my thing.
Valentine's Day is pretty much a Hallmark scam to get you to spend your money on chocolate and cards, so you might as well spend your cash at the Fun Drive finale. We're sealing Fun Drive with a kiss, with the help of Psy, Canon Mulot, What, Big City, and Devours, with tunes by DJ Frankie Teardrop at Redgate Art Society on Friday, February 14th, aka Valentine's Day. It's all ages, $10, but no one turned away for lack of funds, and has a silent auction with prizes from businesses across Vancouver.
Thank you.
Love, CITR, and Discorder.
Ah, nature. Sustainability is so important to preserving this for the future. If only there was a place I could learn more about it, contribute to environmentally conscious projects, and develop my leadership skills with like-minded people.
Oh wait, there is! Come and join UBC's Sustainability Ambassadors Program,
open to all undergraduate and graduate students at UBC. Contribute your time and gain valuable work experience in sustainability. Apply online at sustain.ubc.ca/ambassadors before February 10th.
Okay, we are back. Moving right along with our Oscar recap slash discussion. Let's talk about screenplay. So we have adapted screenplay and original screenplay here. We'll try to pack them in for the sake of time. Original screenplay, I wanted Noah Baumbach, but predicted Quentin Tarantino. What about you?
I predicted Bong Joon for Parasite.
Sorry, I keep clicking the wrong
Stop
mic.
Me.
Sorry, you predicted?
I predicted for original screenplay, right?
Yes.
Bong Joon for Parasite. I also wanted Bong Joon for Parasite, and it also won.
Apparently so.
Trifecta.
Yeah, you've heard me in this whole episode talk about how much I loved Marriage Story's writing. I honestly don't know why I predicted Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Not to say that it didn't have good writing. I for some reason that was my gut instinct. But super pleased with Parasite's win for that. It was an amazing screenplay. Great plot, well written, and we'll go in depth on Parasite when we talk about all of its other awards, its various awards. Adapted screenplay was taken home by Taika Waititi, which I thought was awesome. I did not see that coming, though. Did you?
I did not.
Yeah. I had predicted The Irishman. Once again, don't know why, just that's what my heart said. Well, that's what my gut said. What my heart said was Little Women. Big surprise. But Jojo Rabbit it is. And you know what? I'm happy with that. I thought it had some really good emotional beats, for sure. And like we said, really just well-developed characters and plot. It was lovely. Let's move on to animated feature, only because I feel I have some things to say about this one. We'll start with you. What did you predict and want?
Animated feature, I predicted, I didn't see, I only saw Missing Link.
Mm-hmm.
But I predicted How to Train Your Dragon, just because I had heard that it was a great movie. I just had heard really good things about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted Toy Story 4, which ended up getting it.
Yes, it did. I predicted and wanted Missing Link. We saw that one together as well. I wanted it because I thought the animation was so cool. I love unique animation like that. Not to say I guess all animation is unique, but that style I thought I had never really seen before. And I really liked it. I thought it was wonderful, and I loved the friendship between Susan and whatever Hugh Jackman's character's name was.
I love that.
His name is Susan. I thought that was great representation, and it was just sweet. But yeah, Toy Story 4 won. I was not disappointed about that. I saw that the animation was crazy in that. It was seriously like photorealistic at times. And I did think it was really good. And I won't go too far into spoilers here, but for the majority of the movie, Woody is not, if I remember correctly, Woody's not with the rest of the gang, which is fine. Like, I liked the plot in general. It was a nice story, and, you know, it was developed well, I thought, but just in terms of what I wanted to see, like, I want to see Woody with the gang, especially, and I also don't really understand why they made a fourth one in the first place, because I thought the third one was supposed to be the last one, and I was happy with that because it ended really nicely, I thought. So then I was like, oh, I guess, okay. but it was good. I'm not disappointed, but I would have liked to see Missing Link win. And I'd like to move on to visual effects, because I realize now when I said I wanted to talk about animation, what I really was thinking was visual effects, and that's because of The Lion King. So to dive right into this, I predicted that it would be The Lion King. What did you predict?
I predicted The Avengers for no apparent reason.
Right. I said I wanted The Avengers, you know, cinema or not. Martin Scorsese. I'm a Marvel fan, and I wanted to see Avengers win. But I predicted The Lion King, and this is building off of Chris Stuckman's point. He has a film review channel on YouTube that's really popular. He says about The Lion King that the visual effects are, like, so realistic to the point that the emotion is kind of taken away from these characters. Like, you don't have that cartoon exaggerated, like, human-like emotion that's easier to relate to. They just looked like animals, which, I mean, is impressive for sure, but it took away from the depth of the, like, circumstances surrounding these characters. You know, like, instead of seeing, like, these characters be sad about things that happened to them, you just kind of see an animal. You know, it's just harder to relate, basically. That was my feeling about it, as why I really agreed with what Chris Stuckman said. So that's why I was like, okay, well, if it's that good, it must win visual effects. But it didn't. 1917 did. Which, I mean, I didn't really know what visual effects were majorly involved with 1917. So I looked it up a bit. And obviously, I mean, and I should have put this together, but it had a lot to do with the illusion of a seamless one take. So that kind of makes sense. I'm like, okay, you know.
Will you talk about that more? I don't know. Like, you've talked about that with me, but...
The one take?
Yeah.
So 1917 was shot and edited to look like it never cut.
Hmm.
Like, as if the camera was rolling the whole time.
Gotcha.
If that makes sense. Which, again, we didn't see it, but apparently it did a great job. I believe it. Absolutely.
I think we need to see it.
Yeah, we do. We do. It comes out, I think, on the 28th or something for at least purchase. But I'd really like to see it for rent.
we'll it comes out.
Yeah,
for
we'll
rent.
See. So we'll see it eventually. But anyways, that was visual effects. So with our last about 10 minutes here, we should get right into Parasite and all of the awards that it won. So Parasite, in addition to the ones that we already talked about, the more significant awards that Parasite won were Best Picture, Director, and Best International Feature. And I was so shocked, but, I mean, both shocked, but also, like, not shocked. You know what I'm saying? Because it was such a great movie. But you don't usually see that kind of representation at the Oscars. The Oscars are constantly criticized for lack of Black representation, lack of, well, people of color in general. This year, obviously, lack of women representation, especially in the director category. We can get into some snubs with any extra time that we have. But, yeah, you don't usually see that from the Oscars, but this was shockingly and really wonderfully satisfying in that sense. Parasite got what it deserved, I thought.
Yeah, I think it's great. It made history. That's really great to see.
It is great to see. I love Bong Joon-ho. I think he's so humble, I think, and funny with his little, I'm going to go have a drink now. And then he goes right back and he's like, I'm really drinking. Going to drink till tomorrow, or whatever he said. But Parasite was awesome, and I was so happy to see it take home so many significant and historic awards. It was awesome.
I agree.
I mean, there's not much more to say about that, really. It was awesome to see. With the extra time that we have now, we can talk a bit about some of the other aspects of the Oscars. You know, snubs, I think, specifically, I want to talk a bit about. One thing that I thought was weird, I don't know if anybody else noticed this, but in the opening act, like the one that Janelle Monáe performed, they had in the background all these different dancers dressed as characters from different movies. And she, Janelle Monáe herself, and some of her other dancers were dressed as characters from Midsommar, even though that film wasn't nominated for anything, which I thought was interesting because I was, first of all, a bit disappointed that Midsommar didn't get nominated for at least cinematography, because it was just so beautiful. And production design as well, actually, was really, really amazing. Did you see it? You might not have.
I did not see it.
Yeah. And I mean, not to say that it should have won those categories, I don't know, but it was beautiful. And I just thought it was weird that it was, like, featured in the opening act, but not in the rest of the Oscars. But, like, you know. So I thought that was a snub. And also, of course, female directors. We had one of the most significant ones for me, anyways, was Lulu Wang for The Farewell. I saw that. I think you were kind of like in and out while I was watching that. You might not have even really So it's the one with Awkwafina, and it's about her grandmother dying, but like her grandmother isn't told that she's dying.
Yeah, you're right. I do remember you watching it, but I was not. I was
paying attention.
Out, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was a great film. I thought that the characters were so, you know, sweet together, and I really liked the representation of that family dynamic in that movie. And I thought it was beautifully directed. And other movies with female directors include, you know, Hustlers, Portrait of a Lady on Fire, Honey Boy, and of course Little Women. You know, I haven't seen all those movies for one thing, but I have heard amazing things about all of them, and I was surprised that, you know, women weren't given at least a bit more recognition when you have all these great movies out. And I am excited to see the ones I haven't seen, especially Honey Boy and Portrait of a Lady on Fire. I'm looking forward to for sure. But yeah, it was a bummer that those weren't included, and hopefully in the future we'll see that. Do we want to get into Best and Worst Dressed real quick?
Sure.
Let's do it. Who did you think was best dressed?
I liked Margot Robbie's dress.
She wore this, like, navy dress. It had bows on the sleeves.
Off the shoulder.
Off the shoulder.
Had something fun in the middle.
Yeah, a little bead moment in the middle. It was nice. Best
simple.
Dressed.
I think the ones that I liked the most were simple.
Yeah,
classy,
well, yeah, you and I share that opinion. We both like the classy ones. A good example of that for me is Mindy Kaling's dress. It was I'm a yellow fan. Yellow's my favorite color ever, so I was already excited, but she looked great in it. But even more so than Mindy Kaling, I thought best dressed was Spike Lee, just because his whole ensemble was a tribute to Kobe Bryant, and I think that Spike Lee has a reputation for... I mean, a very deliberate reputation for, you know, representing the experiences of Black people and the Black community on film, and, you know, giving respect to the Black community in all of his work. So I thought that it was, you know, appropriate that he would honor Kobe Bryant in that way. And I thought it was also just really visually appealing. I thought it was all went together well, and it was really nice to see. Worst dress, we agree, I think, which is so disappointing.
It
but
is so sad.
It's so sad because we love her, but Kristen Wiig, what are you doing with that dress? What are you doing with it? It was not it for me at all.
But she herself looked beautiful, of course.
Yeah,
and I
her
love
face
Kristen
was beautiful.
Wiig.
Yeah.
Love her, and I'm so sad that I didn't, that yeah. I would have voted her.
I know. And her and Maya Rudolph's award presentation, I thought was going to be cringy, but the longer it went on, somehow the funnier it was.
Yeah,
yeah. But and Maya Rudolph looked great.
She did
too.
Yeah.
She looked great. But yeah, Kristen Wiig, the dress, you looked like a centipede in the best way ever.
Something.
Love you, but it was not good. Kristen Wiig, hate to see it, but that is that. I will remind you all once again and encourage you, please, to donate to Fund Drive, our annual fundraiser here at CITR. Your donation would mean so much to us and help us provide the most for our ever-growing community of artists, writers, show hosts, students, and members alike. So if you'd like to donate, please go to citr.ca/donate to donate, or give one of our amazing volunteer phone operators a call at 604-822-8648. Other than donating, a great way to show your support is by coming to our finale at Redgate Arts Society on Valentine's Day. So you can come join us to finish off our fundraising event and enjoy a silent auction and performances by Sai, What, Canon Mulat, gosh, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Devours, and Big City. So a really exciting lineup we have at this finale event. Doors open at 8. It's a $10 admission, but no one is turned away for lack of funds. So we really hope to see you there. And if not, again, please consider donating to our nonprofit. So that is all that we have for the Oscars discussion with me and my mom. If you want to say goodbye, Mom.
Goodbye, and thank you for inviting me to do this with you, sweetie.
Oh, you're welcome, sweetie. Okay. Well, everyone, thank you so much, and we hope to hear from you soon. I can know.
You're so ambitious for a juvenile, but then if you're so smart, tell me why are you still so afraid? Where's the fire? What's the hurry about? You better cool it off before you burn it out. You got so much to do and only so many hours in a day. Hey, you know that when the truth is told, that you can get what you want or you can just get old. You're gonna kick off before you even get halfway through. Woo, when will you realize Vienna waits for you? You wanna be before your time, although it's so romantic on the borderline tonight, tonight. Too bad, but it's the life you lead. You're so ahead of yourself that you forgot what you need. Though you can see when you're wrong, you know you can't always see when you're right. You're right. You got your passion, your pride, but don't you know that only fools are satisfied? Well, dream on, but don't imagine they'll all come true. Ooh, when will you realize Vienna waits for you?
Fundrive 2020, CITR's annual fundraiser extravaganza, is happening right now. This year's theme is Crush on CITR. And since we deal primarily in sound around here, we started wondering, what does a crush sound like?